football on Off the Ball.
My favourite goal. If you think of a goal where the first touch makes the goal, Bergkamp against Newcastle. What a touch.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up tonight, Dion Fanning will join us from 7:30 to reflect on that nightmare in Yerevan last night. From 8 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Eric Donovan because there are a heap of boxing stories to get stuck into. We've got the world amateur boxing medals that have been secured today. We've got Paddy Donovan versus Lewis Crocker this weekend in Belfast. We've got the super fight of Terence Crawford versus Canelo Alvarez this weekend as well. So loads to get stuck into with Eric after 8 o'clock. And then on the football show from 9 o'clock, Matt Slater is going to explain the Premier League versus Manchester City settlement over APT rules. And we are also going to speak to Tim Vickery about a crazy conclusion to South American qualifying for the 2026 World Cup. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to send us a WhatsApp in studio, we have Cameron Hill, who will bring you the news around very shortly. Cameron, how are you doing?
Good evening, Owen.
And Kathleen McNamee is back in studio as well. Kathleen, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Voice is a little croaky, but we'll get through.
That's okay. That's okay. You're both smiling. We're 24 hours on from one of the worst results in the history of the Republic of Ireland. I've had my say for three long hours last night. So take it away. How are we feeling? What are the optimism levels like after that?
I'm trying to just like digest as much from the fallout in terms of everyone getting their sort of opinion, debacle, hammering, disaster, catastrophe. I'm trying to get it all in because I've convinced myself now that I'm just not going to let my mental health be affected by this team for the rest of the year. It just feels like it's done. There's no point. Like I'm trying to just binge on the negativity before I put it away again and indulge in 2026. That's where I'm at.
I think having gone through the disappointment of the women not getting to the Euros during the summer, I've kind of had my fill of negativity around the team, and it seemed very obvious past like the first 10-15 minutes where the game was going. And even when Ferguson scored to bring us back into the game, kind of there was no point that I felt like watching the commentary on RT and like listening into what was happening on Off the Ball as well, that I felt that anyone really thought we were going to do it. And admittedly, now I only watched back the highlights of the game at the weekend, so I don't know if there was like similar feelings around that at the time as well, but it seemed almost inevitable the way people were talking about it, and even the halftime analysis, that people didn't know where the goals were going to come from. Like, rarely do we score two goals in a game, never mind having to find three. Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like I was accepting it as the game was actually happening. And it is terrible for Irish football. It's not a great result. It put a dampener on watching the under-21s afterwards when they actually did, like, they got the result that they needed. But it was, there was something inevitable about the whole thing. Yeah,
the under-21s scraping to a 1-0 win against Andorra didn't exactly inspire confidence.
I know, but that's what you expect at this stage from an Irish team, really. Like, if you look at the results over the last couple of years, scraping to a 1-0 win against a team that we're supposed to beat by like a decent margin is kind of the place that we have got to and the place that we accept. And I think maybe going into yesterday's game with the senior squad, we expected something a little bit more. There was more positivity that we can get a result. It's obvious we're going to win. But even that whole narrative, I was like, this is so worrying from an Irish perspective that we're talking about this going into a game, because I don't think we have that mentality.
Sorry, it's just what really hurts about this one is the fact that there was the second half fight back against Hungary. And it felt like I watched it back ahead of...
They were gaslighting us.
They were. Well, it was more like when they came out at the second half, I was watching back the first maybe 60, 70 minutes of that game yesterday. And I was amazed at how, like, there was a lot of time wasting from Hungary. I think that's been well covered. There was a lot of just cynicism in terms of the fouls, the little pushes, little digs, leaving something on somebody. And you just, based on how Ireland came roaring out of the blocks at the break, you thought, oh, they're fired up now. They're like, this isn't going to how it's going to end. Getting bullied by Hungary in the Aviva with Orban watching is not how we're going to end this World Cup campaign before it even starts. We're going to come out here. We're going to come out of the blocks. They get the goal. Then they get a red card. You thought, brilliant. Okay. They have fire in the belly. And there was just no point last night where I felt that they had that. Like, even when they were quote unquote fighting for the equalizer, it felt like, oh, it's done. Started like plodding around that basically waterlogged
pitch. We didn't
have
any of that niggly sort of stuff. We didn't have, you know,
no,
someone
we can't do
going
it.
Down and like everyone running over to the bench and chatting to Halgrimsson and being like, okay, what's our next plan? They didn't have those little niggly tackles going in. It felt like Armenia had our number from that alone, never mind. Like, the mentality of the whole thing was totally different between the two sides, and that was the frustrating thing watching it.
Armenia conceded a counter-attack goal and decided to shore things up, but we're not going to let that happen again. Like, there's a bang of lads, it's Ireland now.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I do find it comforting today, as I've tried to trick myself into accepting last night, just to kind of realise that we'll always be losers. And if we just accept that defeat is always going to be the end game, it genuinely makes the future seem a little bit more palatable. Because if you kind of consider victory as the ultimate form of, you know, I don't know, forgiveness for what happened last night, or the sort of the comeback material, that winning and winning comprehensively and consistently is how we kind of turn this thing around, then you will be disappointed. Mm. However, if you accept that defeat is always going to be the outcome, then you can see, you know, a sunnier future. For example, it's not that hard to go from yesterday, which is a doomsday scenario, to a heroic defeat at some point in the future. A sort of patronising sort of heroic defeat
but
may yet happen.
But imagine how bad we'll feel if we get like a 1-1 draw against Portugal and it's absolutely heroic and it's brilliant and you're like, oh, if we only got that win.
Mm, well, as I said, Hungary's 2-1 defeat to Armenia that's imminent will really put things into perspective. Maybe Armenia are going to top this group and it'll be the three of us fighting it out for that playoff spot. I don't know. Like, apathy, everyone says, is the worst thing about an international football team, if you become apathetic towards it. And that's where it's been sliding for a couple of years from an Irish context. It's hard not to have read into Nathan Collins' facial expressions when he was talking to Steve-O last night as anything other than apathy, in a sort of, yeah, don't know, not really sure what happened there. We need to maybe watch it back. Like, you kind of want your captain to be raging.
Yeah, I'm not sure it is apathy, though.
I do think he was raging, though. Like, he'd obviously done a couple of interviews over the course of the evening, and I think you can see him kind of transition between the different stages of grief and different ones.
Mm.
I think the supporters could potentially start to feel apathetic, or certainly they'll start to care a little bit less than Saturday. But listen, as I say, it's always possible that the Republic of Ireland will find a really encouraging display in defeat soon. They're not going to win any big games, but we might find an encouraging display in defeat. So, heroic loss coming down the tracks, and the doomsday scenario might not be the regular thing. We should say that there were some embargoed quotes from Heimir Hallgrímsson that have come out in the last 60 to 90 minutes. He talks about the psychological aspect. He talks about the coach always having to take the heat for a performance like this. But he said, it's a little bit probably down to old scars. The players are not as confident as they should be, in my opinion. They probably carried something from the past. We said before that it's a heavy shirt for them to carry. In my opinion, they should qualify for a tournament. I find that fascinating. Like, I know he said that before, the idea of the shirt being heavy, but it feels that we're really confused here as to were the team overconfident or were the team underconfident. The idea of this Ireland team not working with a sports psychologist has become one of the biggest talking points of this campaign. But yet at the end of it, you've got the manager coming out delivering mixed messages about whether or not the team is overconfident or underconfident. Mm-hmm. And certainly when he mixed that with like the likes of Nathan Collins and what some of the other players have been saying as well, it feels that the psychologist thing is going to be something that maintains into the next international window, because it feels like a massive part of the jigsaw that needs to be fixed. Carl's been in touch to say, seen this trashed out in social media and I thought it was nonsense. But genuinely, would Shamrock Rovers have done much worse last night? I don't know. Like, I mean, there was
I've seen a lot of suggestions about this on social media that a League of Ireland best 11 would have done better than that team last night.
The crazy thing is that that's one of the many ridiculous cliches that gets thrown out after a stunning Irish defeat. However, I'm starting to believe that stuff as well now at this point. Like, when people are like, just get Roy Keane in to do the job, I've even started to come around to that idea. All the notions that I would have considered ridiculous 24 months ago, I'm now like, maybe there is something to it. Like, you look at the
Armenian... I think where the League of Ireland one is coming from, though, is that people feel that they because they're not involved in an international setup by and large, that they will feel more passion and more conviction to go for the game in a way that we didn't see last night. Like, there was plenty of times where there was missed passes, where, you know, there was passing around the halfway line rather than actually trying to drive forward. And I think people on a League of Ireland side feel like, well, the best players on my team wouldn't be doing that. They would be trying to get a win against a team that they know we can defeat. But when you look at the level that a lot of those players that were playing last night are playing at, it would be interesting. I think the only way you could ever solve it is if you actually just put
the Shamrock Rovers team.
Put like the national team up against League of Ireland best 11.
Josh Honohan was just waiting.
Off the Ball will sponsor it anyone is interested.
The one thing I would say, like, not to get like not to get bogged down on that talking about it, I still think it is like obviously not the case. There were four players in the Armenia team yesterday who play in the Armenian League, two of which play for FC Noah, a team that were in the Conference League, just like Shamrock Rovers last year, but didn't manage to get to the knockout stages, which Shamrock Rovers had managed to achieve. And then the other two players play for teams that finished below FC Noah in the Armenian League. This is how sad my day has been. I've just delved into like the standings of the Armenian Football League last night, just to make sure it was a shock, just to convince myself, Armenia are not better than Ireland. They're not better than Ireland. It was still an underperformance. But last night brings everything onto the table. And the idea that Armenia have better players than Ireland was one of those possibilities. But I reject that. I still accept that it was a massive underperformance from Ireland last night. Surely we can give ourselves that.
I think you're talking about silver linings, and it's probably high time we find some. That, if anything, it's a great advertisement for the Premier Division. I can't wait for it to return after the international break now as a result, because it'll take Irish football's minds off. What was it? Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the line in the sand that comes with this this international
the Premier League coming back, or the Premier or the Premier,
the Premier Division and the FAI Cup as well. It'll be a great weekend. Take your mind off it straight away.
The one positive story in Irish football actually turns out to be club football in Ireland. So the tables certainly have turned. I'll just run through some more of your texts before we get to the news round. Our number is 0879 180 180 on WhatsApp. Armenia lost to the Faroe Islands with a population of 55,000 people. No athleticism or physicality in that Ireland midfield. I really love the fact that you pointed out the population of the Faroe Islands to illustrate that the Faroe Islands are bad. Kieran and Meath, players playing out of position, no balance to the Ireland team. Michael Noonan now, the Ireland under-21's youngest ever goal scorer, so there are green shoots in Irish football. I do agree with that, and I do think the 21's maybe... I think it was just a strange night last night. I think that 21's team would be a bit better than Andorra, or at least I should have ambitions to be. And Fountainstown Forlan on YouTube, just 3 wins and a draw from the next 4 matches, and we'd be flying. Yeah, I would certainly take that at
this
point.
Let's do it. Let's go for it.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, we generally perform better against teams that we know we absolutely should not be beating. So
that's it. It's coming.
Ronaldo. We're coming for you.
Moral victory, I should say. Real defeat. Moral victory coming very, very soon. The news round is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. So, Cameron, the DP World Tour has chosen Lightning Rod for back mode.
Trump International Golf Links in Doonbeg, Owen, has been confirmed as the venue for the 2026 Irish Open. The County Clare Links had long been rumoured as the stage for next year's edition of the event. That was confirmed today, with the DP World Tour also confirming it will be held between the 10th and the 13th of September in 2026. Now, speaking today, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says there is an open invitation to US President Donald Trump to visit Ireland during the event.
There's no question, but the President Trump would be welcome to Ireland. In terms of the underpinning of that US-Ireland relationship. In terms of the Irish Open in Doonbeg, we've just witnessed a fantastic climax to the Irish Open this year, and we congratulate Rory McIlroy. He really is putting Irish golf on the world map.
Nothing overly surprising in what Micheál Martin says there. I wouldn't really expect him to say anything different. It's going to be quite interesting what this reaction is like, particularly in 12 months' time. That's the terrifying thing about this, is that there's another full year of Trump's presidency to come before this event actually happens. So things could get much worse, and things could get a lot more questionable between now and then. And questionable is a soft way of putting it. Like, you do try and look at maybe the other side of this, like the other side from the idea of this clearly being a flagrantly Donald Trump place. And look, the only thing that you could maybe say is that this is great for the West Clare economy. The people who run the hotel are good, genuine people who have to, you know, pay their mortgages and rent and all that sort of stuff. But I think the overpowering thing here is that Trump's name is going to be front and centre here. Trump himself could be front and centre, and the status that comes from being attached to that, I think, is damaged. I just can't understand the decision either. It's like, at least postpone this, considering they've never hosted the event before. At least just hold us off for a few years, say whatever you need to say, just to kick that can down the road. The fairways need a little bit of a sprucing up. That'll be a 3-year job, I suspect, before we can come back.
So you're not looking forward to Trump's friend, Bryson DeChambeau, rocking up to West Clare next year?
Oh, you said the field will be stronger.
That's the other side.
You have me persuaded.
Mr. Silver
now.
Linings over here.
But there were a lot of source pieces in like the newspapers this morning before this was officially announced, saying that, you know, government officials were quite happy that this was coming to Doonbeg and quite happy that it was going and that Trump was going to be coming along, and almost the international attention that that would bring, or like the prestige of, as you say, like the sort of names that will turn up. There didn't seem to be that much backlash to it. And I do wonder, will that come a little bit later on, as you say, in a year's time or maybe a month or two out before the event actually happens and we're starting to talk about who's going to come and what's the likelihood of who's going to win? Will that sort of ramp up then? Because I remember when Trump visited before, he was as controversial as he is now. And obviously he's always been an incredibly controversial figure. Even then there were protests, but they're relatively minor. I remember like a group of school children being brought down to the edge of the course to see him. And there was a lot of backlash to that. You know, like, why would you bring kids to see a man who has been accused of so many different things? So,
yeah. And also that's kind of a very independent thing. Like, he was in his first term at that time when that happened in 2018. It's a, you know, I guess it is a state visit, but this is the Irish Open saying, yes, we will play on a Trump course. That's a statement.
Yeah.
And if you come out and say, you know, we are apolitical, we're not attaching ourselves to anything. I don't know, the name of it being Trump International Golf Links, it's a bit of a giveaway as to who it's connected to and who you are by extension connecting yourself to.
That's how everyone is going to have to refer to it for the time of the tournament. And, you know, you even look at the reception that he had at the US Open and the fact that it was about nearly an hour that play was delayed because of security concerns over his arrival. How many security concerns are there going to be about Trump coming to Ireland, a country that is very obvious on where its loyalties lie?
Now, he may not come is the thing. The invitation is open, as Micheál Martin said. He can come here any day he likes.
Yeah.
So,
but he's a man who likes the attention. Like, do you not think he would like to make the statement of coming to a country that is largely against some of the things that he is pro?
That's the problem I have with it, really, is that like the Irish Open is going to be used as a sports washing event. Like, that's what you have to read into this. And, you know, I know, like, they're on different scales, but we've seen multiple instances of this happening within Irish sport over the last while, and the discomfort doesn't go away. So it's going to make for a very interesting 12 months after what's been quite a euphoric week for the Irish Open. It seems like, I don't know.
It's a terrible end to the week.
Yeah,
it's a terrible end to the week, yeah.
It's a bum note, to say the least. Like, he is due to go to the Ryder Cup, by the way. We were talking about that earlier in the week, and that's just going to delay tee times as well, potentially. Or at least the Ryder Cup are saying, just please don't come around the beginning of rounds. Come at the beginning, or in the middle, or whatever the case may be.
Don't be allowed to see your favourite players tee off.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know if you saw how much of a disruption it was to the men's final at the US Open, and the kind of backlash that was. Like, people were getting in midway through the second set into Arthur Ashe for like the $2,000 they would have spent for a Grand Slam final, which they might never see again. Yeah, the circus is coming to town.
After 8 o'clock tonight, we're going to be speaking to Eric Donovan about all things boxing. We're going to kick things off on a good day for the Irish at the World Boxing Championships in Liverpool. What's happened, Cameron?
A great day. Aoife O'Rourke through to the semi-finals of the 75k division at the World Boxing Championships in Liverpool. The Roscommon fighter has also secured at least a bronze medal, Owen, after beating Norway's Suniva Hofstad by split decision today. And speaking to World Boxing Media, O'Rourke is thrilled to have guaranteed herself a spot on the podium.
Yeah, look, it's just about taking it one fight at a time, and if I'm just grateful to have gotten that medal, and we'll just push on in the next one and see what we can do. But look, to be here and to be selected by by Ireland itself, it's a great honour to be here and representing my country. The game plan was just to kind of keep the pressure intensity there and try and be clinical and smart with my punches. And yeah, look, you can do the plan all you want on the pads and you feel great, but it's when you're trying to implement it in the ring, it's another story. But hopefully there'll be some positives to come away with.
Now, Patsy Joyce is also into the 55kg semis after a split decision win over Uzbek veteran Mirzizbek Mirzakhalilov. And in the last few minutes, Owen, Grainne Walsh has booked her place in the semifinals of the 65kg. She won by split decision against Yang Liu of China, who was the Paris silver medalist. So a great day all around for the Irish in Liverpool.
Absolutely. Now on to the rugby.
Yeah, first up today, we have Ireland stepping up their preparations for Sunday's Women's Rugby World Cup quarterfinal with France in Exeter. The big news from the Ireland camp today is that back row Aoife Wafer trained fully today and could feature in that game in Sandy Park. Now, we'll know for sure if she's in the team when head coach Scott Beaman names the side tomorrow, but kicking coach Gareth Steenson says they're hoping Wafer's ready to go.
Yeah, so Aoife has she's been in training. She's back in training with the squad. She's been looking really good. So at the minute, it's just been a long road for her. She's got some good training sessions in under her belt, which is really good. And she's come through the session. So we're very pleased with where she's at, how she's trained, how she's been working hard, obviously over the last few weeks to get her into the position she is. So she will be, all being well, available for this weekend.
And like last Sunday wasn't quite as deflating as the Armenia game last night, but there was definitely a sense of deflation about
deflation power rankings over here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's comfortably in at number two this week. The Black Ferns game. But I think maybe there was a bit of a reality check for fans that actually Ireland are just a bit off the top nations at the moment for a multitude of reasons, one of those being the injuries. I think even allowing for the injuries, maybe before the Black Ferns game, we expected maybe there could be a game put up against the French. Now, a few days on, you're listening to talk of Aoife Wafer. Is there a chance that Superwoman shows up? She puts in one of the all-time great performances and actually Ireland do manage to keep France to a couple of scores, maybe a single score going down to home stretch, and all of a sudden we're dreaming about a potential semi-final in the last few minutes?
You're hoping so. I mean, by all accounts, France have not been blowing out lights this tournament or for the last while. They feel like they're a team on the decline. So maybe Ireland are catching them at just the right time. Maybe that Black Ferns defeat has come at the right time for Ireland in terms of, right, we need to regroup. We need to get everything right from what we've learned from the pool games and move on, because this is the last roll of the dice in terms of Ireland. We could be out for, we have the choice of either playing this game and going home or having at least two more games to play at this tournament. The thing about Aoife Wafer is we were told last week by Dennis Fogarty that she was ready to go and ready to play. And I think Irish rugby doesn't have a great reputation in terms of telling people, yeah, 100% fit. If you search Tadhg Furlong on Google, I'm sure you'll get a list of articles from the Six Nations this year that says Tadhg Furlong could be back for Game X against the opposition. So we'll have to wait and see tomorrow. But if she is back and she is fighting fit, yeah, the French are going to catch some hell.
Okay, that is Wednesday night's news round. We will have more on the rugby over the coming days when that team is announced, and we will be previewing that Ireland-France World Cup quarterfinal this weekend in Exeter. Cameron, Kathleen, thank you very much. We're going to take a break and chat to Dion Fanning next to get his considered thoughts on what happened last night in Armenia.
The news round on Off the Ball
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.